Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ. The sermon text for today is from the Gospel of St. Mark, the 4th chapter. Let us pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength, our sustainer, and our Redeemer. Amen. If you do not hear anything else today, hear this. God is with you in the storms of life. Now I joke, and I should say amen and call it quits and say that's a sermon, but you know me better. Especially the front pew up here, they know me too well. If you do not hear anything else today, though, hear this. God is with you through the storms of life, through the tumors, cancers, deaths, broken bones, life changes, trials, turmoils, and troubles. And that's just this past week. God is in the storm with you. God is in the same boat that you're in, pun intended, okay, with today's gospel reading. God is in the storm with you, in the chaos, in the troubles, the tribulations, and the turmoils of life. I love Job. Job 38, go home and read the whole chapter. It's amazing. You could preach a whole sermon on that, but I'm not going to, because I already said amen, right? Okay, but Job 38, I love it. God says to Job, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? You're questioning me? Not knowing what you're even saying? Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? When I designed it, when I created it, when I tamed it, that's the end of our reading for today, when I tamed the ocean and the sea, the storms of life, chaos. You know me too well. I love the ocean for that reason. The mountains are beautiful, but they're just a pile of rocks. But the ocean's kinetic. The ocean is moving. The ocean is roaring. The ocean is fearful. All you have to do is watch a little kid run into the waves, and they get their big toe wet, and then they run back giggling like, oh my word, I tempted it. Then as you get older into your teens, you go out to where the waves go over your head, and you hope for no undertow, and you test the waters, pun intended, the chaos of the ocean. God is saying, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth, when I designed it, created it, tamed it, tamed the oceans and the seas? And then we jump to the gospel for today, this wonderful story found in all three synoptic gospels. Jesus is the Son of God. You know that, and I know that. In fact, in John's gospel, he is the I Am, right? Moses says, what should I call you, God? And he says, I am who I am. Jesus, all through John's gospel, my favorite one, Marla's not here to pick on her, but my favorite gospel, the gospel of John, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the I am, God, God's self. And Jesus has power, we find out in this story today, over creation, the wind and the sea. God is saying to Job, who do you think you are? Jesus, asleep on the cushion in the back of the boat as it's being swamped, is saying to his disciples, who do you think you are? Now, I read a number of commentaries this past week where they said, you know, the disciples, at least four of them, were good fishermen. Why were they afraid of the weather and the sea of Galilee and that? They weren't sailors, folks. The Hebrew people are nomadic desert people. They are afraid of the ocean. Read Jonah. Worst thing you could be do. Worst thing that could be done to you. Yeah, there you go, Pat. Worst thing you could be do. Worst thing that could be done to you is to be thrown into the sea. But Jonah says, go ahead and get rid of me, because God is angry at me, not you guys. And the sailors threw him overboard, and there was a calm. Yes, these guys were fishermen, some of them. Not the tax collectors and not the, you know, the zealots like Judas and that. But they were fishermen. They knew water. But this was a storm. And they're scared of the ocean, the Sea of Galilee. They're scared of the Mediterranean. They're scared of chaos and the uncontrollable. The storms, pun intended, of life. Before we get to the storm, though, in Mark chapter 4, verse 36, it's just this little mention, which I never paid attention to, okay, until this past week. They, the disciples, took him, Jesus, with them in the boat. He said, let's go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Let's go to that pagan land, the Gentile land. And they, the disciples, took him, Jesus, with them in the boat, just as he was. That little phrase, just as he was, what the heck does that mean? He didn't have his boating clothes on? His Hampton clothes with the hat and the shorts and the, you know, the whales and everything? Just as he was? I think that's important. Mark is trying to show you who Jesus is all through Mark's gospel. The disciples took Jesus with them in the boat, because he asked them to, just as he was. He had no magic wand with him like Harry Potter. On FX channel, cable, basic cable, that's all I get. I don't get Disney Plus or anything like some of you people in the back row. But they're doing the Harry Potter series. I read the first book. I never read any of the other ones. I saw the first movie. I thought, okay, I'm over it. But Harry Potter had a wand, right? That was the big thing, the wand. Jesus had no wand. Jesus had no cape like Superman. Right? A red cape, he had none with him. He was just as he was in the boat. He had no mask like the Lone Ranger or Zorro. He had no horse like Tonto, to be inclusive. He had no gun like Wyatt Earp, whether you think he was a hero or not. He had no superpowers, like spitting fire or turning invisible or flying above the clouds faster than a speeding bullet or a locomotive. What did he have? They took him just as he was. And we knew that what he had and has is faith. Faith and trust in God. So much so that when the boat is being swamped by the waves, think of the white caps. We could talk to the EMTs in the congregation about the boat accidents on American Falls Reservoir. Oh, there's never any problem there. I've seen the white caps. Oh, my word. It's almost as good as the Pacific Ocean. It's better than the Rocky Mountains. Kinetic. During the storm, he's asleep on a cushion. At least he's comfortable. Yay. At the stern of the boat. And then comes the greatest thing. I'm not the only one that has said that. Other theologians said it too. One of the dumbest questions in the Bible. I love it. The disciples, leave it to the disciples and Job. And Jonah, and some of those other men and women of God. But one of the dumbest questions in the Bible. The disciples woke Jesus up and said to him, Rabbi, teacher, do you not care that we're dying? I love that. They wanted him to be awake and to suffer with them. Not that they expected him to do anything, because chaos is chaos. The world is full of uncontrollable things. Tumors, cancers, death, broken bones, life changes, trials, turmoils, and tribulations. But they asked this wonderful question. Leave it to the disciples. And I bet you Peter was right up front with them. Rabbi, teacher, do you not care that we are dying? And what they call him is important here too. Rabbi in the Hebrew, or teacher in the English, that's who he was to them. He was their rabbi. And we'll get to that in a moment. Do you not care that we are dying? Do you not care we're in the storms of life? You're in the same boat we're in, pun intended. They didn't ask him to save them. in Mark's gospel. They didn't ask him to do anything. They said, don't you care that we're dying? The dumbest question in the Bible. Because why is Jesus on earth? Jesus was sent to earth by God, God's only begotten Son, the Beloved. Because God cares enough that we are dying. The minute we are born, we begin to die. We learned of a birth of a 1 pound, so many ounce baby born this week. 1 pound. I buy more hamburger than that to make a hamburger. 1 pound, so many ounces. His sibling was born preemie also and has lived. That's a good thing. But 1 pound, so many ounces. Do you not care, Lord? Of course God cares. God sent God's Son to show us how much God loves you. And so we sing, this is my Father's world on Father's Day. We pray, our Father who art in heaven, and we haven't excluded that with inclusive language. God cares about you so much that Jesus is on earth for one reason and one reason only. Not only to preach, teach, heal, and administer God's mercy and miracles, but to show God's love because you are dying. Rabbi, do you not care that we are dying? One of the dumbest questions in the Bible. Of course, Jesus cares. And so Mark goes on as he tells the story. Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind without a wand or a cape or a horse or a mask or any superpowers. He rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. Something we don't experience in southeastern Idaho very often. A dead calm of no wind. The wind was blasting yesterday. I was out watering my wilted flowers who were burning up in the heat. And my neighbor walked by with her dog. I said, hello there. She goes, kind of hot. I said, yeah, it is. It was like two old farmers or something back and forth, right? She said, I hope it cools down tonight. I'm going to water my flowers later on. I said, good luck. The wind ceased and there was a dead calm. And Jesus said to them, why are you afraid? Have you still no faith or trust? Now, some theologians say that Jesus trusted God so much that he could be asleep on the cushion in the back of the boat, the stern. I'm not sure how true that is, but I know that Jesus had strong faith and trust in God. And then Mark ends the story as we end the gospel today. And the disciples were filled with great awe and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Who is this that chaos is controlled? That the storms of life are controlled by this man? And that's the crux of the whole story. That's the reason Mark tells this story in Mark's gospel. Matthew and Luke had other reasons, but the reason Mark tells it in this year of Mark is, who is this guy? And Mark's congregation, like you, are to say, well, we know who he is. He's Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. God, God's self. But you know the rest of the story. All through Mark's gospel, there's this messianic secret that we learned about in graduate school and seminary. For 3 years, the messianic secret of Mark, where the demons and the evil spirits know who Jesus is. They get it. But the disciples and the Pharisees and the elders of the church, they don't get it at all. In fact, at the end of the story, they want to hang him out to dry. Because who does this guy think he is? The Son of God? It's important that they call him Rabbi. Because that's what he was to them, a teacher. He wasn't the Lord yet. He wasn't the Christ yet. He wasn't the Son of God yet. He was simply a rabbi, a teacher. Rabbi, do you not care that we are dying? Of course I do. Where's your faith and your trust? And then they say, who then is this? And you as the congregation, like Mark's congregation, are supposed to answer that question. Of course you know who this is. This is Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God. God, God's self, one of the Trinity. Who hath power over the storms and the chaos and the uncontrollable. Who hath power over tumors and cancers and death, broken bones, life changes, trials, turmoils, and troubles, and tribulation, to quote the Old Testament. But the important thing is to remember that God is with us in the storms of life. God is with us in the chaos of our world. God is with us, right next to us, saying, trust me, I will bring you life, even in the midst of death. I will bring you protection in the midst of turmoil and tribulation. I will be there with you. And the greatest example of this is when Jesus is hanging out to dry on the cross, right? He quotes Psalm 22, and I think he was quoting the whole psalm, not just the first verse. But, my God, why have you forsaken me? You're supposed to be with me in the chaos, in the turmoils, in the troubles of life. Here I am, this is the worst thing that's happened to me in 33 years. Where are you? And the miracle is said in Mark's gospel only. Do you remember that? Go home and read Mark chapter 15. The miracle is Jesus says this as he cries out to God, you are supposed to be with me in this storm. You're supposed to be with me in this tribulation. The Roman centurion standing there with a spear at the foot of the cross, when he looks up to Jesus and sees that he has died, says, truly, this man was God's son. There you've got it. The disciples ask the question, who then is this that he can control the chaos and everything? And who confesses at the cross who Jesus is? It's a Roman centurion, a Roman officer of the army, who looks up and sees the love of God in this frail body hanging on a cross. And he says, truly, this is God's son. And the messianic secret is broken open. The temple curtain is torn in two. God is present in the greatest storm we've experienced in the history of the world, the death of Jesus. When the sun turned to dark, the day turned to night, the earth shook, graves opened, all the rest. A Roman centurion. That's like saying the Afghanistan Taliban is the one who says, Jesus is the Christ. Really? Are you kidding me? Afghani Taliban is saying that? A Roman centurion is saying that? Exactly. And that's what Mark wants you to hear. God's love transcends ethnicity, gender, sex, age, all the rest. The disciples who should have gotten in chapter 4 are saying, who then is this? They control, he controls chaos. I can't even say it. And in chapter 15, a Roman centurion says, truly this was the Son of God. Mark's gospel is wonderful. I love John's gospel the best because it's very artistic and poetic. That's me. But the theology in Mark's gospel is unbelievable. We've got this little short story. And I think, go home and read chapter 4 again. But chapter 4, verse 36. The disciples took Jesus with them in the boat, because he asked them to, take us to the other side, just as he was. No cape, no wand, no mask, no horse, no gun, no superpowers, other than faith and trust in God. If you don't hear anything else today, God is with you in the storms of life. God is in the storm and in the boat with you.